This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
A short time ago, we heard some music. It was called Sophisticated Lady. It was from Zach Hurren, the winner of the National Jazz Award in 2009 and the Friedman Fellowship in 2012, having already released his first album back in 2007. Zach is my guest tonight, and he has been described as a uniquely and distinctly Australian saxophonist, composer, and improviser. It's my pleasure to welcome to Bent Notes Zach Hurren.
Thanks for having me, man.
It's great to have you here, Zach. Now, when last we spoke, Zach, just prior to the Wangaratta Festival in 2015, in fact, we learnt that your playing career started early, from the back of a wardrobe, in fact, where your mum kept her alto sax. Have you discovered any other musical treasures in similarly out-of-the-way locations since we last spoke?
Mainly eBay.
Oh, eBay.
Yeah, I found some really, really nice musical treasures on eBay.
Other than those treasures, have you found some treasured memories from your career to date?
Yeah, well, basically any time I see improvement, that's what I treasure the most, is because as a musician, it's a lifelong pursuit, and that's the beauty of it, is you have until your last breath to keep on getting better. And so I just keep on practicing and working on things that I feel I can improve in, and just slowly just chipping away at it. And I sort of think of it, actually, there's a really famous quote of Michelangelo where someone saw this gorgeous marble sculpture and said, "How did you create this amazing work of art?" And he said, "Oh, I didn't. I saw the angel trapped in the marble and I kept carving until I set it free." And I sort of see musicians and artists are kind of like that, where it could be a flaw in your technique or a missing piece of information that you haven't studied yet that's obscuring your true musical nature from shining through. And as you practice and improve and work on things and strengthen your weaknesses, you're removing the confusion that is cluttering and obscuring your true, you know, musical truth. And so anytime I see any sign of improvement, that's what I treasure the most.
So you're taking away all the rocks and the rubble and everything else and finding that treasure underneath.
Yeah, trying to set myself free from my limitations.
Do you find that you fight yourself sometimes when you're going through this process?
Well, there's lots of different ways to look at it, but I've definitely checked out Zen Buddhism quite a lot. There's this great, beautiful guy called Damon Katagiri who wrote this book called Returning to Silence. A lot of his kind of ways of looking at things have adopted that way of looking at things. One of the things that he says is be fish water. Don't be the fish which is separate from the water. Don't be the water which is separate from the fish. It's one thing that's dynamic. The fish has to surrender to the water. And I sort of see that like the musician, for me, I have to surrender to the musical flow that comes through and try to just surrender to it fully so that I can be a conduit for that musical truth. So not let my intellect step in and interfere with the process, thusly turning whatever thing I'm working on, I need to prevent my intellect from turning it into a reflection of my ego.
Is that something that's difficult to do, to stop your ego jumping in to take control?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, every day it's that you're trying to find this way of surrendering to the flow. Because it seems to me that the way of like creating music, I think that the thing that makes any music good is whether it's been truly conceived, where you're hearing a sound come to you and then you try to be a conduit for that sound to come out into the world, and you hope that your intellect is the slave, where your intellect is just performing the function of enabling a real and true rendering of the conceptualized sound. And then I think the other way of doing it is your intellect being like an engine that generates things that are a reflection of your intelligence. And I feel that kind of music, while it can be really good music, I do think that when you are a conduit for sounds, I think that's a higher art form. And that's what I try to improve my skill and remove any shortcomings from my skill, so that when I do conceive something beautiful that I feel like is a sound that's come to me, that's what I try to do, rather than just letting my intellect generate thoughts.
And when you do that, you obviously also need to be doing it with other people in the bands.
Definitely when you're performing. But I think the thing as being a musician is it's a lifelong pursuit. So you're doing it every waking moment. And also when you're asleep, you know, you'll often wake up hearing a new song in your mind when you first wake up. So it seems that the sounds come from somewhere else. And whether we equip ourselves to be ready to deliver them into the world or not. And so most musicians are steadily working on this every moment of their life, usually in solitude. And then when you come together for a performance with like-minded people, you all try to surrender to a singular flow.
Is that something that, if you've got that under control, so to speak, with your own musicianship, is that something that you teach to the other musos in the group?
In any artistic endeavour, if you're collaborating with people, the single most important thing and the single most important step is deciding who is it that you're collaborating. So the personnel is probably the singularly most powerful decision you can make in any kind of creative thing. And so if you choose people that are on the same wavelength, then you can just do it. You know, it'll just happen. So usually you choose to just collaborate with people that will lift you, help to lift you to a higher level, you know, and then together you can try and attain a new level of expression that previously was unattainable.
When that occurs, Zach, you must have a special feeling from the group.
It's an amazing feeling. When it happens the best, it sort of feels like when you get to the end of the performance, you sort of emerge from this great depth and you don't really have a clear memory of what happened. You just know that it felt special, but you're unable to actually really remember what happened. That's when it's the best.
This is Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Definitely not straight.
Now, you are performing this year, Zach, at the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues, and you have a band with you up there. Last time in 2015, you did a show that was a tribute to the late David Addis, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was to help to launch his final album.
What's the focus of this year's show?
Well, I decided to reform my first ever band. It's a band called Appian Way, which was a band that my best friend Carl Harvo on trumpet, he decided to form it. It was his idea to make the band. Carl Harvo, great trumpet player. It was two pairs of best friends. So myself and Carl Harvo was one pair of best friends. And then the other pair was Sam Bates on drums and Eugene Romagnuk on double bass. And then eventually Eugene Romagnuk decided to give up music and become a Buddhist monk. So he moved to Nepal and become a Buddhist monk in the robes and everything.
Yes.
And so the band disbanded at that point, which would have been close to probably 15 years ago. And then we decided to reform the band with a friend of ours, a great double bass player called Sam Anning, who's originally from Perth, who now lives in Melbourne, and he's a tremendous double bass player. And so we reformed the band. So the band is going to be Carl Harvo on trumpet and flugelhorn, myself on tenor saxophone, Sam Anning on double bass, and Sam Bates on drums. And we decided, as a significant step towards moving forward as a long-term musical project again, after this long hiatus, we decided to go into the studio and record a brand new album, which just arrived on my doorstep yesterday.
What great timing.
Yeah, so we've got some brand new album called Asylum, which is all brand new original Australian music performed by an Australian group trying to create a really uniquely Australian sound. And we're very, very proud of what we've created. And we look forward to sharing the music with some, you know, lovers of music.
I'm looking forward to that. I will certainly see you up there. I think I'm actually MC for your show up there in the theatre.
Oh, cool, man. Awesome.
So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, man.
Very much so. Now, you talked there about the Australian sound. Is there one Australian sound in jazz?
Well, it seems to me that there is a really strong Australian sound. Like, if you put on a Bernie McGann album, there is an instant Australian sound of dryness and extremes. I think that Australians have an extreme kind of sound, which can be extremely gentle or extremely fiery, but usually extremely beautiful. And I think that the shape of our world really forms our minds and the way that we identify with things. And I think in Australia, with the enormous wide-spreading land where it's just, you know, deserts that just go on forever and lush rainforests and incredible beaches and the way the clouds form in the skies, like when you're in Melbourne, the clouds are different from when you're in Brisbane, the clouds are different. I think all of that and the dryness and the extreme nature of, you know, the way that our environment, you know, going from crazy floods to raging bushfires, I hear that in Australian music.
That's certainly an amazing, well, Australia is an amazing place in terms of, as you say, all the things that we see across the country that are just that little bit different. Do you think that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you think that affects musicians differently in different states?
There are definite sounds. You can definitely hear a Perth sound, and there's a Melbourne sound, and a Sydney sound, and there's definitely a Brisbane sound. I think the Brisbane sound, this band has got a really strong Brisbane sound. Although three-quarters of the members live in Melbourne now, there still is a very strong Brisbane sound to the music. And I think the thing that makes Brisbane such a unique place is because it's not as developed as Sydney and Melbourne, where there are these enormous concentrations of population, and as a result, little scenes like jazz musicians and improvising musicians, there are just more of those people, and so they form tight communities where they can develop a unique sound. I think the thing that makes Brisbane special is because the scene is so young, there's not really a need to be versatile. In Sydney, where the scene is so developed, if you want to be employed, you have to be a very versatile player. So there end up being lots of players who are really, really extremely proficient in many, many genres. Whereas in Brisbane, because there's less of a need to be, you can instantly, immediately go into specialising in a very peculiar, particular way of playing.
Okay.
And so it seems to my ears that Brisbane players have got a particularly unique sound.
Well, we'll be able to hear some of that in Wangaratta next week on Sunday night, 8:30 in St Pat's Hall, where you're performing. And is that going to be related to an album launch?
Yeah, it's kind of like I wanted to have the album ready so I could share it with people who I know love music, especially, you know, improvisation-based music. But so I'm sort of seeing this gig as like a sneak peek pre-album launch.
I love it. I love it.
That way people can hear the music and get an advanced release copy of the album, which we will have some albums there for sale. And then I think later on next year we'll organise a thorough national tour and do a really thorough album launch then.
Sounds
great.
So I
think right. That this gig, 8:30 p.m. on Sunday the 5th of November in St Patrick's Hall, it's going to be like a sneak peek of the album. So people who love Australian jazz, I'd love it if anyone come down, hang out, come and say g'day and grab a sneak peek advanced copy of the album.
Well, that's certainly the gig to go to on Sunday night up in Wangaratta. Zach, thank you so much for chatting to us tonight. Apologies for the technical difficulties we've had here, but I think we've got through successfully.
Thank you so much for the support, man. Thank you.
My pleasure indeed, Zach. We're going to have a listen now to a piece from your Zach Hurren at Coma 2010-12-13 album called Round Trip.
Oh, cool, man.
Fantastic. Thanks, Zach. This is Round Trip on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.